uncleanliness. The traditional have since spread, has other components too, depending on the region of Iran. Often seen on the have seen table, we can mention the Holy Quran, a mirror, candles, bread, a crystal bowl full of water, and hyacinths. Whenever we spread the have seen table, it means we're preparing to bid farewell to the year, which is just about to end, and usher in the new year. In certain regions of Iran, in the last days of the year, and before the arrival of the new year, bands of street musicians and performers herald the arrival of the spring and the passage of winter. These bands of Nowruzi musicians and street theatre performers can be seen in many towns and cities throughout the length and breadth of the Islamic Republic of Iran. They encourage the public to celebrate the new year, welcome the arrival of the new season, spring, and passing away of the old season, winter. These bands of street performers are known by various names such as Mir Nowruzi or King of Nowruz. Celebrating the last Wednesday of the year, known as Charshanbe Suri, is another very important Nowruz tradition. This happens before the arrival of the new year. One of the most important traditions of Charshanbe Suri is to make a small fire and then jump over it, singing a special song to bring you health and prosperity. Another well-established Nowruz tradition is to commemorate those who have passed away, by visiting their graveside in cemeteries on the last Thursday of the year. Iranians take various food items such as bread, dates and halva. Halva is a type of Middle Eastern sweet, with them to the cemetery and distribute food to whoever happens to be there. They also light a candle at the graveside of those who have recently passed away. It is also a tradition to eat fish and rice, or various types of Iranian culinary delights such as tahchin, kufte, kuku, on the night of the new year. Another important tradition of Nowruz is to visit members of your extended family and relatives. According to tradition, on New Year's Day, the first day of Farvardin, it is customary to visit grandparents, parents, great uncles and great aunts, and other senior members of the family. In fact, the whole extended family often gathers at the home of a senior member of the family, for example, the grandparents. Visiting relatives, friends and acquaintances during Nowruz starts in the first few days of the new year, which are all public holidays in the Islamic Republic of Iran. From 1st until 5th of Farvardin, the first 5 days of the new year is a public holiday in Iran. These visits can go on until the end of Nowruz, that is the 13th day of the month of Farvardin. In the not-so-distant past, visiting relatives and friends did not require prior liaison or prior appointment. You simply turned up at the house of your usually elder relative and the door was wide open and you simply went in for a Nowruz visit. There was no need to make prior arrangements. But today, with the expansion of cities, emergence of megacities with family members being scattered over a wide geographic area, and restrictions due to employment and the fact that many families live in apartments rather than homes, it has become necessary to contact your host beforehand and to make your prior arrangements by phone before you actually visit your relative or friend. Thus today, unannounced and unarranged Nowruz visits are rare, and in general, there are more restrictions on Nowruz visits. Another Nowruz tradition is to go on a trip or a vacation during the Nowruz holidays. Traveling during the Nowruz holiday is very common in the Islamic Republic of Iran because most offices and businesses are shut for 2 weeks, providing an ideal opportunity for families to go on a family trip or a vacation. Roads and highways are particularly busy during the Nowruz holiday, with major cities such as Isfahan, Shiraz, Mashhad, Tabriz, Hamadan, Yazd, Bandar Abbas, etc., being a favourite destination for Nowruz holidaymakers. The northern Iranian provinces of Gilan, Mazandaran and Golestan are also very popular destinations for Nowruz travellers and are always very busy. Many Iranian families visit their relatives and friends in distant towns and cities during the two-week Nowruz break, and they get back home from the trip after 2nd of April or 13th of Farvardin, or even later. Another well-established tradition is to visit the home of a relative who has suffered bereavement, someone who has lost a loved one recently. Visiting them has priority over visiting other relatives, family and friends. Another well-established Nowruz tradition is to give money or gifts to members of your family, relatives and even friends, especially those who are younger than you, and in particular, children. In centuries gone by, Iranians used to give each other sugar and wish each other a sweet new year. Sugar symbolizes sweetness of life, of course. However, this tradition has now died out and is today only of historic interest. Giving cash and gifts, however, is still very much part of the Nowruz tradition. In years gone by, the elders of the family used to give gifts to younger members of the family, particularly to children. These gifts were usually items from the Hafsin table, such as apple, samanu, or a painted egg. But with the passage of time, money became the dominant gift during Nowruz. Most people prefer to give money as a gift for Nowruz. Traditionally, the elders of the family usually place crisp, brand new banknotes between the pages of the Holy Quran as a form of blessing and distribute these among younger folks and children in the family. Iranians, of course, don't just give money and gifts to their family members. It is also quite common in Iran to give money or gifts for Nowruz to your house servants, to anyone who is less well off than you or comes from a poor background. This is indeed a charitable act and an act of benevolence and a very important part of the Nowruz tradition.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
کشورهای اسلامی از تفرقه همشون ضرر میکنند و از اتحاد همشون سود میبرند.
All Islamic countries lose from discord and all of them profit from unity.
And I think this is an obligation, an obligatory duty for any Muslim to step forward for the sake of unity.
And we would have to look at leaders' advice.
Viewpoints.
According to the view of the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei.
From IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, and I'm the host of the program, Ruhullah, With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Mozamel and Sayyid Mohsen. Thank you very much, Brother Mozamel, for accepting the invitation. Assalamu alaikum to you first.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
Of course, we have different topics in the program, viewpoints, but these viewpoints produced by Brother Mahmoud is mainly concerned with the most important speeches of the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We elaborate on his speeches. And because this program is on air in the month of Ramadan, we want to talk about the Holy Quran, the importance of the Holy Quran as elaborated by the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Some people are looking for a kind of a miracle in the life through the Holy Quran. For example, I have financial problem in my life. I just go look through the Holy Quran. I read the Quran, and I believe in it as the remedy for my financial problems. I mean, is this the sa'ada I must look for in this world? Maybe the sa'ada, I mean the dunyavi sa'ada, the mundane materialistic sa'ada or prosperity and blessing. I'm looking, must be redefined, isn't it, for me as a Muslim?
Well, sa'ada, people have different definitions mm-hmm. for this according to their own mentality.
Okay.
How they think about a perspective, okay. About a thing.
So you want to say whenever, in what situation we refer to the Quran, it has answer for us?
It has answer for uh-huh. it because this is the book of guidance. It okay. gives you the guidance. For example, let me give you an example here. For those who want to basically increase their money, usually the charity in the Quran, it's been referred. We have the surah as well on this, like Infaq. And we have many verses, about the charity.
Mm-hmm.
In the books, in the religious books, when they want to give example about the charity, they give usually the example of water. They say charity or the money itself, the wealth, is like water. You've seen that in a specific place, if the water is stagnant, it becomes dirty.
That's right.
And it's stinky.
That's right.
It becomes black and it's stinky. Yeah. And there you will see frogs or insects and
that's
you
right.
will see the viruses
that's
or
right.
all these
microbes,
things there.
That's right.
Yes, microbes over there.
Okay.
This water, why it has these kinds of characteristics is because it is stagnant. It is still.
Mm-hmm.
It's not moving water.
Yeah.
It's not fresh. It's not flowing water.
It's not
water.
Running. That's right.
It's not running.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you see the dam, where we have a dam,
yeah.
we have continuous water which is running.
Yeah, flowing.
There
right.
you will find the fish. And unless that water is running, it produces electricity for you. It is useful for the people because it's benefiting everyone on its way where it is
very
obviously
good.
Going through.
Okay.
The money is the same case. Like, when we say about charity, those people who think that they can increase their wealth by just storing them into their banks or increasing their like bank balance or they can store it into their save and not basically spending on other people,
mm-hmm.
then obviously that money is similar to that pool which is stinky
mm-hmm.
and it becomes black and then from there they will have corruption.
So obviously. Can we resemble the Holy Quran to the running water?
Yes, it is.
It is. It is the running water
it is
for the
running
humanity.
Water. It is for mm-hmm. the humanity.
Very good.
But for those people who are basically spending their money, because these things have come in Quran, you need to do charity. There is a whole, the rules and the procedures, how can we live?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Quran is not only a book which is needed to be read in the month of Ramadan.
Oh, that's a problem we have. That's right.
Do that. Okay. They just remember to read Quran either on the month of Ramadan or if it is a wedding or if someone passes away.
Oh,
so
the overreading, that's right.
In those days.
Okay.
Whereas, also the brother mentioned that we don't have attention towards the translation of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yes, this is one of the miracles of Quran, that this is in a language that we just learn about the movements,
mm-hmm.
alphabets, and we start reading it without
okay.
even knowing the translation of the word.
Okay.
Whereas in other languages, you must know the meaning of a word. You first
okay.
learn words and meanings, and then
okay.
you learn a language.
That's
there.
Right.
So, but this is very, this kind of thing, we count it at a lower level, like
yes,
this
right.
kind of miracle.
Okay.
Right? It has a miracle, which is the guidance. It takes you from nowhere to everywhere.
From A to Z, that's right.
A to Z.
That's right.
So if you want to get the sa'ada basically from Quran, you need to read and understand what does Quran says. Because that's what Quran basically is talking about. That's why the Quran was there. Because if it was something for some people, some special people, then obviously they would be reading and acting according to this. So that's this right. Quran also gives you the wealth. It gives you safety. It gives you peace. Today we have the inner peace problems in the West.
Yes.
People do not find spirituality.
That's right.
They're going towards the yoga or maybe some other like sports or these kinds of things.
Commitment of suicide.
Yeah.
It's a major problem in the capitalist society.
Why? Because they're depressed. They're disappointed.
Although they're wealthy.
They have everything.
Okay. All,
yes, but they don't have inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're not living their life according to their own structure.
Mm-hmm.
They were made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
And He made them out of a clay and He put a soul into them.
Okay.
So all this combination was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's
whereas
right.
when they're living in this world, they're just following the rules that applies to that clay, not the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul itself is always there and it's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
We feed this body, which is made of clay.
Mm-hmm.
We feed it like with the food and all those things.
That's right.
What about the soul?
Okay. Thank you, Sayyid Mohsen. So, Brother Muzammil, again, the holy month of Ramadan and the Muslims reading and rereading the Holy Quran to gather sawabs. What happens after the month of Ramadan? Okay. So, leaving it aside, you know, this book of guidance. Although I need its rahmah and the blessing of reading and recitation of the Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan come to the lives of the people. But the case is that this mere recitation of the Holy Quran, does it help us? Isn't it more important to think about it, to contemplate upon the verses, ayahs?
Right. So, of course, without a shadow of a doubt, we do need to contemplate, and the best form of reading would be when you're understanding what you're reading, right? You mentioned the thawab that we get, the reward that we get. See, again, this is a tool, right? Just so that we can understand. It's not really a point system that you're getting positive points.
Yeah, it's not like bank account.
Right. You know, when we're talking about, reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're talking about thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are just saying that how close are we getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And while the blessing of this holy book, while the magnanimity of this holy book is such that even if you don't understand, but if you're just thinking, if you're just in the mindset that you're really reading Allah's words, you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you, you will have that effect on your soul. If again, it's
even if
done,
you are not a Muslim,
right? So it Muslim, it will have right. Its effect. But the best form would be to at least understand what Allah wants to talk to you about, what Allah wants, what Allah is expecting from you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what we have seen over and over again is this whole concept of thawab and the reward and the punishment.
That's
right. The punishment, again, for a true lover, it is the separation from his beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And reward is that proximity.
That's
of
right.
the from with the beloved.
Okay.
So we need to set our orientation clear. Once we understand that this particular book, this tool is bringing us close to our beloved, which is the purpose of our creation, which is the objective of our creation, then we would not differentiate the month of Ramadan with the rest of the months.
That's right.
Because for us, the month of Ramadan is not an idol, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us, the book is not idol, right? For us, these are just the tools.
That's right.
So that we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether we are living in, we are passing through the month these days, or we are not, it should not make difference in the eyes of a true believer. What needs to be done over here, I mean, it's not that we are saying things that people don't know, right? People do know these things. We all know these things. The question is, why is it that we are so far away, even though we know? You ask any Muslim out there that whether Quran should only be confined to weddings or to deaths or to the month of Ramadan, they'll all unanimously tell you, no, it should not be confined. Unanimously, they'll all tell you that it should not be confined. It should be read.
Or just safeguard us in our cars, you know, putting it in the pocket of the car. Just to stop accidents.
Yeah.
Nice insurance for us.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they're unanimously going to tell you that, you know, it should not be confined. It should
as
be
a
read
decoration,
throughout the year.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. We decorate our life with the Holy Quran.
Why is it that we are not doing it? There are several reasons, and one of them, I feel, it's because we do not believe. Mm-hmm. We do not believe from the bottom of our heart, from the core of our heart, mm-hmm. that this book is really for the salvation. This book is really going to bring us success in this world and hereafter.
Yeah, this success.
And when we are talking about success, everyone is looking for that.
Okay.
Again, going back to the question, what is success?
Mm-hmm.
These terms need to be defined.
Yeah.
These terms need to be elaborated.
No,
people don't, like, for some, look, it is innate in human beings that they all are looking for success, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a commonality amongst every human being. They all are looking for success.
Okay.
The difference is the definition of success. For the likes of, say, Trump and the likes, right? For them, the success is to have
the stock market,
the rate,
that's right.
And even for that,
the price of the oil,
right, and for that, they are willing to sacrifice all the values. They are willing to compromise all the values.
That's
they are
right.
willing to trample upon the rights of human beings.
Okay.
They are willing to do anything and everything possible in order to get to their objective. When it comes to divine objective, when it comes to divine success, right, we also are looking for success, right? And we are also willing to do anything and everything, of course. With us, it's going to be done in the divine way.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using the right means. People need to be convinced. We need to be convinced that we do believe in the definition of success that Allah has mentioned. Where has He mentioned? He has mentioned in Quran multiple times.
Okay.
One of the examples that I'll give from the chapter of Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who accept Islam, embrace Iman, and those who do migration, those who do jihad with their lives and with their wealth, their rank is very high in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the ones who are faizun, successful, right? So this is a definition.
Prosperous,
I have the definition from,
right.
I have a divine definition of success,
mm-hmm.
and then I have a materialistic definition of success.
Okay.
It's up to me that which definition would I choose?
It very much depends on the definitions that are given to you nowadays in the 21st century, because the terms are defined in a different way. So your interpretation of this definition, your criteria in order to reach that, we can say success might be different. So your expectations from a holy book will be different now, okay? That's it. We have to finish this episode, sorry. And then we'll continue, inshallah, our discussion on the Holy Quran and the Holy Quran as described and elaborated by the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, inshallah, in an upcoming session of the program. Thank you very much, Brother Muzammil.
You're welcome.
In this episode, and Sayyid Mohsen, thank you very much too.
Welcome.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much too for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Do not forget to visit our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. Also send us your emails and comments at englishradio@irib.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The United States has suffered some of its biggest bank failures since 2008. Silicon Valley Bank, the 16th largest bank in the U.S., failed after depositors hurried to withdraw money over concerns of a liquidity crisis. Officials say they acted to protect insured depositors. Regulators have taken control of the lender's deposits and transferred the assets to a newly created entity. Nearly half of the American technology and healthcare companies that went public last year after getting early funding from venture capital firms were Silicon Valley Bank customers. Moreover, a large number of startups will not be able to make payroll at some point in the next month if they cannot access their money. The lender had been under pressure lately due to fears of recession, higher interest rates, and a slowdown in the market for initial public offerings. The factors had made it harder for startups to raise additional cash. But Silicon Valley Bank was not the only U.S. financial institution to fail. Following the collapse of SVB, customers withdrew more than $10 billion in deposits from New York-based Signature Bank. Regulators have now said that Signature was taken over to protect its depositors and the stability of the U.S. financial system. Signature had 40 branches, assets of $110.36 billion, and deposits of $88.59 billion at the end of 2022. Signature Bank was founded in 2001 as a more business-friendly alternative to the big banks. It expanded to the West Coast and then opened itself to the crypto industry in 2018.
Signature Bank is a business mostly bank with actually pretty good deposits relative to lending. And it closed mainly because I think the same thing we're seeing across the banking industry, sort of a psychology of investors losing faith in the credit quality of banking in general.
And there are a lot of red flags here. That's certainly one of them, the concentration in one industry. The explosive growth over the last year, they literally doubled in size from 100 some odd billion to over 200 billion in assets, catapulting them into one of the largest size echelon of banks in the U.S. They also had a very, as they say in the banking world and accounting, they had a very mismatched portfolio.
The bank failures have sparked fears of contagion in the financial sector, not only in the United States, but also in other countries. Bank shares in the US, Asia, and Europe have slumped following the collapse of SVB and Signature Bank. Investors have started to worry about the general state of the banking sector. Smaller US lenders were particularly hard hit. Investors are concerned that the failures are a sign of troubles at other firms. Several pension funds in the US and at least two overseas have lost millions of dollars due to the crisis. Institutions such as the California Public Employees Retirement Fund, the California State Teachers Retirement System, Korea's National Pension Service, and Sweden's Elective Pension Fund had reportedly invested in SVB. Analysts believe Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is likely to be felt across the technology landscape globally over the coming years.
But, you know, you also have the question of the impact on the financial technology and research and development, you know, venture capital industries in the United States. There's $160 billion potentially tied up in this receivership that the venture capital industry could lose.
Governments in the United Kingdom and the United States have taken extraordinary steps to stop a potential banking crisis. The UK Treasury and the Bank of England have announced that they had facilitated the sale of SVB UK to HSBC, Europe's biggest bank, ensuring the security of £6.7 billion of deposits. President Biden has also pledged stiffer bank regulations, forcing regulators to step in with a series of emergency measures.
Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed.
The crisis has underscored the risks to banks from the end of easy money. Global borrowing costs have risen as the Federal Reserve lifted US rates by 450 basis points from near zero. The European Central Bank hiked the Eurozone's by 300. There are concerns that price inflation will stay high, something that would drive further rate hikes.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
Then U.S. President George W. Bush's 2003 decision to oust Saddam Hussein by force, under the false pretext of WMDs, the U.S. unleashed its war machine on Iraq, and the country and the wider West Asia region would never be the same. The U.S. still contends with the consequences of invading Iraq 20 years ago.
There's not many who would come to the defense of this and think that this was a wise intervention. That, again, I mean, I think mostly because there are two kinds of critiques. One, which is there was no justification for doing it all in the first place, or which is one kind of critique. And the other is that, well, there was a justification, but only if you were capable of making sure that what came after it was not worse than what happened before. And the combination of the two makes this pretty flawed.
What came after depends on who you ask in the American administrations, past and present. Then U.S. President George Bush Jr. had a rosy assessment.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein was a ruthless dictator. His fate, in some way, was justified. Yet John Bolton believed removing Saddam justified the costs.
I think the removal of Saddam Hussein was an unmitigated plus. There's no doubt that he would have sought weapons of mass destruction once UN inspectors were withdrawn from Iraq and once Iraq was free of UN sanctions. No doubt about it.
But what was not justified was the U.S. forcing its version of democracy on Iraq.
The intervention just raised a lot of questions about two things, which is one, how much was the United States sort of willing to pursue its conception of its own interests at the expense of what was going on in the region, and therefore how much of a good partner was the United States in dealing with challenges in the region. And then second, having done that and having acted unilaterally, in effect, how constant and consistent is the United States? And so both of these things, I think, have diminished our influence in the region. So in that sense, I think you can feel confident saying the net result of this has been bad for U.S. leverage, bad for U.S. influence, bad for our ability to partner with countries in the region to achieve our objectives, including vis-a-vis Iran.
The U.S. invasion of Iraq was the beginning of major unraveling of U.S. policy in West Asia. It also revealed the true colors of a brutal regime. First, the cost of U.S. involvement. Pretty vast. According to a 2020 paper by a co-director of the Cost of War Project at Brown University, the U.S. price tag was nearly $2 trillion. That figure could be as high as $4 trillion. Then the human cost. U.S. soldiers, about 5,000. Iraqi civilians, over 1 million. The U.S. failure in Iraq was on multiple fronts. From the tortures at Iraqi prisons, like Abu Ghraib, which showed the brutality of the U.S. regime, to the waning support from the Iraqi population, the U.S. realized it had to pull out of Iraq.
Today, I can report that, as promised, the rest of our troops in Iraq will come home by the end of the year. After nearly 9 years, America's war in Iraq will be over.
I just decided we didn't want to do this stuff anymore. And that began, to be honest, I mean, that began with President Obama declaring that he was going to pull all forces out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, another U.S. debacle, the nail in the coffin for a failed U.S. foreign policy.
And by the end of this year, the transition will be complete, and Afghans will take full responsibility for their security, and our combat mission will be over.
We're dealing very well with the Taliban. They're very tough. They're very smart. They're very sharp. But, you know, it's been 19 years, and even they are tired of fighting.
I'm now the fourth United States president to preside over American troop presence in Afghanistan. Two Republicans, two Democrats. I will not pass this responsibility onto a fifth.
Which brings us to today, where the U.S. influence in West Asia has reached a standstill. Nothing could be more evident of that than the recent Iran-Saudi resumption of diplomatic ties. Ironic that the country that the U.S. invaded back in 2003, Iraq, was the one that mediated between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which may lead to the ouster of U.S. troops from the region altogether. Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to unprecedented levels after Washington accused Moscow of colliding with one of its Reaper surveillance drones, forcing it to crash into the Black Sea waters off Crimea. Russia denied it deliberately brought the unmanned aerial vehicle down. Moscow says the drone went down after stalling and never came into contact with another aircraft. Russia says the UAV was flying towards the Russian border without an active transponder, in clear violation of the restricted area established for the conduct of the special military operation. Two interceptors were dispatched to investigate. As a result of sharp maneuvers, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. That's what the Russian Defense Ministry stated. But the U.S. has rejected Russia's explanation, accusing Russian jets of an unsafe and unprofessional intercept of the drone. U.S. military officials claimed their spy drone was operating in international airspace when a pair of Su-27 jets appeared, sprayed it with fuel, and struck the propeller of the UAV, which caused it to crash into the sea.
But there is a pattern of behavior recently where there is a little bit more aggressive actions being conducted by the Russians. We think we haven't completed our analysis as to why that's happening. And it wasn't just involving us. There were some incidents earlier with the British and some other nations as well.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has already reached out to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, to discuss the incidents. The last time Shoigu and Austin spoke was in October 2022. The latest incident has further strained the already tense relations between the two nations. Kremlin said on Wednesday that relations with the U.S. were in a lamentable state and at their lowest level. Calls are already growing loud in the U.S. to retaliate against Russia. Hawkish Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested opening fire on Russian fighter jets that intercept U.S. drones.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another U.S. set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets.
Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the senator's call to shoot down Russian aircraft went far beyond common sense and risked all-out war between the world's largest nuclear powers. Since Russia started the military operation in eastern Ukraine, contact between American and Russian military leaders has been limited. Meanwhile, Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has said that the drone crash represents a moment of great tension in relations between Moscow and Washington. He also urged the West and Russia to exercise caution so that they could avoid a direct clash. The crisis comes as the war is still raging on in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Russian forces must be stopped in Bakhmut and other towns in the east. Russia has said the capturing of Bakhmut opens a path to taking control of the entire Donetsk region, one of its central war aims. Russian forces and fighters from Wagner Group have captured Bakhmut's east, but have apparently failed to encircle the city. NATO also warned last week that Bakhmut could fall within a matter of days. Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to unprecedented levels after Washington accused Moscow of colliding with one of its Reaper surveillance drones, forcing it to crash into the Black Sea waters off Crimea. Russia denied it deliberately brought the unmanned aerial vehicle down. Moscow says the drone went down after stalling and never came into contact with another aircraft. Russia says the UAV was flying towards the Russian border without an active transponder in clear violation of the restricted area established for the conduct of the special military operation. Two interceptors were dispatched to investigate. As a result of sharp maneuvers, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. That's what the Russian Defense Ministry stated. But the U.S. has rejected Russia's explanation, accusing Russian jets of an unsafe and unprofessional intercept of the drone. U.S. military officials claimed their spy drone was operating in international airspace when a pair of Su-27 jets appeared, sprayed it with fuel, and struck the propeller of the UAV, which caused it to crash into the sea.
But there is a pattern of behavior recently where there is a little bit more aggressive actions that are being conducted by the Russians. We haven't completed our analysis as to why that's happening. And it wasn't just involving us. There were some incidents earlier with the British and some other nations as well.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has already reached out to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, to discuss the incidents. The last time Shoigu and Austin spoke was in October 2022. The latest incident has further strained the already tense relations between the two nations.
I just got off the phone with my Russian counterpart, Minister Shoigu. As I've said repeatedly, it's important that great powers be models of transparency and communication. And the United States will continue to fly and to operate wherever international law allows. And it is incumbent upon Russia to operate its military aircraft in a safe and professional manner.
Kremlin said on Wednesday that relations with the U.S. were in a lamentable state and at their lowest level. Calls are already growing loud in the U.S. to retaliate against Russia. Hawkish Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested opening fire on Russian fighter jets that intercept U.S. drones.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another U.S. set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets.
Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the senator's call to shoot down Russian aircraft went far beyond common sense and risked all-out war between the world's largest nuclear powers. Since Russia started the military operation in eastern Ukraine, contact between American and Russian military leaders has been limited. Meanwhile, Italy's foreign minister, Antonio Tajani, has said that the drone crash represents a moment of great tension in relations between Moscow and Washington. He also urged the West and Russia to exercise caution so that they could avoid a direct clash. The crisis comes as the war is still raging on in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Russian forces must be stopped in Bakhmut and other towns in the east. Russia has said the capturing of Bakhmut opens a path to taking control of the entire Donetsk region, one of its central war aims.
Wagner PMC units have practically surrounded Bakhmut. Only one road is left open to Ukrainian forces. The pincers are getting tighter. If earlier the professional Ukrainian army fought with us, today we see more and more old people and children.
Russian forces and fighters from Wagner Group have captured Bakhmut's east, but have apparently failed to encircle the city. NATO also warned last week that Bakhmut could fall within a matter of days.
اقرأ. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانه ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with Brother Fawad Haider, Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. Salamun alaikum and welcome.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine?
Great.
That's good. Fawad Haider, how are you doing?
Salam, sir. I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm good. And Hassan Nasrullah?
Salam alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How about you?
Fine, sir.
Good, good. So today, inshallah, we'll talk about Ayah 35 of Surah Ali Imran and page 54. Brothers and sisters, please open your Quran, turn to page 54, Ayah 35 of Surah Ali Imran. Let's everybody listen to the recitation. Then we will get back to our explanation and tajweed rules.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم.
Good job. Nice recitation. Now, before our explanation, inshallah, I will read once and recite. Make sure you carefully listen and practice. All right?
Yes.
Yes.
Our brothers and sisters as well, inshallah, will practice with us. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني.
إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني
إنك أنت السميع العليم.
إنك أنت السميع العليم.
أحسنت. ما شاء الله. ما شاء الله. Imran is one of the prophets. Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran. It means the progeny of Prophet Imran alayhi salam.
Yeah.
Prophet Imran alayhi salam is the father of Lady
Maryam.
The grandfather of Prophet
Isa
alayhi salam. Jesus. So, إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانِ, when the wife of Prophet Imran, okay, said, رَبِّي, my Lord, إِنِّي نَذَرُتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَاطْنِي. So Allah Almighty promised her to give her a child, okay? Then she said, Allah Almighty, رَبِّي, okay, رَبِّي, إِنِّي نَذَرُتُ لَكَ, my Lord, I dedicate I dedicate, I present to you what is in my belly. I dedicate my children, my child to you, okay? To like the child should work for the what do you call it? Sanctuary in Ma'bad, okay? In sanctuary, to work in sanctuary in the house of Allah Almighty, okay? To be a servant. She thought that this baby is gonna be a boy, okay? Then the next, I will talk about it, inshallah, in the next session, what how this story goes on. So she said, I dedicate to you what is in my belly, okay? In consecration, muharraran, free. It's to you, okay? It's my nadhr to you. Fataqabbal minni, O Allah Almighty, accept it from me. Innaka anta sami'ul alim. Indeed, you are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Inshallah, in the next session, we'll talk about it. When the baby got born, okay, it was not a son, it was a daughter. It was a girl. And she feels sad, but Allah Almighty accepted and told her, blah, 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 this. Inshallah, we'll talk about it in the next session, okay? So, the story continues. Now, the thing is that the mother of Lady Maryam, she was looking forward. She was so optimistic about her baby. And she wanted her baby to be in the service of Allah Almighty. To be in the way of Allah Almighty. So inshallah, when you become a mom, you are fathers, brothers, okay? Or if you're not married, inshallah, like me, when you become mom and dad, okay? So you should be optimistic. You should look forward, okay, to a bright future. That your children must be, inshallah, in the path of Allah Almighty. Good Muslims, okay? They should get born Muslims. They should die Muslims, okay? This is very important, okay? Inshallah, we should try our best, inshallah, to keep our children in the path of Allah Almighty. So, we should learn this from the wife of Prophet Imran alayhi salam. Alright?
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, that's it. A very short explanation, a very short message, but that was important, inshallah. I hope we always keep it in mind. I really ask you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more, okay? Let's move on with the important tajweed rules. Inshallah, we will finish this session after we finish the tajweed rules. إِذْ قَالَتْ. Let's first talk about the important letters that we should pay attention to the pronunciations. The letter
Thal,
Qaf. Oh, first one, Hamza, E.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be Idh Qalat, right? Idh Qalat. It has a Nabr sound, a very straight sound, okay? Jerk sound. Idh, Idh, Idh Qalat, Thal, Hamza, Thal, Qaf.
Ra.
Ayn, Ra, Imran, Ra. Rabbi, again, Ra. إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي قَا مُحَرَّرًا
حَا
فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ
عَيْن.
That's all. So these letters are important. Hamza, عَيْن, ذَال, حَا, next one, طَا, قَاف, and رَا. Yeah?
Yes.
These letters are important. Now, the rest of the tajweed rules. إِذْ قَالَتْ. قَاف has a heavy sound. إِذْ قَالَتْ is wrong. إِذْ قَالَتْ. Right? قَالَتْ. Then إِمْرَأَتْ. Here also, Mim is sakin. Hamzatul Wasl is sakin. Actually, we don't have Hamzatul Wasl, we have meme. Since meme is sakin and we cannot start a word with sakin letter, okay?
Yeah.
That's why we have hamzatul wasl. Here, if you want to skip hamzatul wasl, because you have to join the words, okay? So hamzatul wasl will be skipped, but ta is sakin, qalat. It is not qalati, qalat.
Yeah.
Ta is sakin. So two sakin letters meeting here, there is one rule. If the two sakin letters meeting together,
what do you say?
Hurrik bil kasr.
Yeah.
Put a kasr. Assign the first one with a kasra. If qalati imra'atu. Skip hamzatul wasl. Join ta with meem. If qalatim ra'atu. Imrana. Ra has a heavy sound. Ra'ana. Tafkhimur ra. Do you remember? Fawad?
Yes.
If qalatim. Tarqiqur ra. Tafkhimur ra. Good job. Tarqiqur ra means the producing a light sound with ra. Tafkhim means producing heavy sound. Rabbi. Rabbi. It can be pronounced Rabbi. There is a ya. As far as I remember, there are six ways to read Rabbi. Rabba. Rabbi. 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 Yeah. There are six ways to read Rabbi. They all are correct, okay? But here it's Rabbi, written like this. I mean in dua, if you want to read. For example, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Rabbi al-Azim, Rabbi al-Azim, Rabbi al-Azim. They all are correct, okay? Six ways based on the Arabic literature, Arabic grammar. Nahw. So, Sarfun Nahw. Inni nadharutu. Inni, inni. Nun mushaddad. Nadhar. Ra has a heavy sound here. Since there is
a fatha sound
before. Nadharutu laka ma fi batani. Ta is important. At the same time, there is a qalqala sound. A bouncing sound. Echoing sound. Batani. Muharraran. Muharraran. Hide the sound of tanween, yes?
Yes.
Hidden nun sound. Why? There is a fa. Fa is from the
rest
of the letters. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي صِلَة tells you it's better to
continue.
إِنَّكَ نُن مُشَدَّد أَنْتَ hide the sound of nun. Hidden nun sound إخفاء. أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That's all. Alhamdulillah, we mentioned. I hope Hassan, Fawad, Ali Nasir, inshallah you have learned the Tajweed rules. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us in this session. And Fawad, Hassan, Ali Nasir, thank you so much. Do you have any questions?
No.
No? Okay. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. The next session is going to be Ayah 36, inshallah, practice. See you. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English.